Today's reading is from the book of John. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, St. Luke's. It is good to be back home again in Indiana. As some of you may know, if you were here last week, they introduced the new clergy, and I'm originally from southern Indiana. Grew up there for a little over 20 years in a small town called Greenville Township. There's a lot of green space in Indiana. And it was a big part of my formation spiritually and just as an individual, especially as I grew up on a farm. So you will hear that those stories are a part of who I am and how God has formed me. So over the next 4 weeks, you will hear from all of the new clergy and Eric. You will get to see us and hear from us over the next 4 weeks. And I know for me, I am grateful to be here with you. You are an amazing congregation. But before I invite you to pray with me, I want to acknowledge that 2 weeks ago, you said goodbye to two beloved pastors. Ones that you had lived life with, ones that you did ministry with. And in doing so, they planted seeds. And I will have the privilege of continuing to nurture those seeds and watching them grow. So as you are both happy for their new adventure and sad that they're no longer here, hopefully we will find our way together and know that they leave behind many blessings. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we are grateful for this space and that you've called us to be in it together this morning. We thank you, God, for your presence here and for the ways in which you work in our hearts. We thank you, God, for community and for the ways in which we can see you embodied. And so this morning, oh God, we pray for just a sense of your love, your hope, your mercy, your healing. And as we find you this morning, O God, may our praise pour out in ways that are surprising and new. And through this, we are grateful. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Well, I have to say that Rob is probably a very brave pastor, brave senior pastor to turn the newbies loose with worship the very first week. So I know that we all pray for lots of grace on this day. As I began thinking about my sermon of introduction today, I really couldn't think of anything interesting that y'all would want to know about me. So I thought, well, if there is one thing that you probably would want to know, it's how God called me to live into this ministry of care. You won't see me up here very often because my ministry is lived out in other ways, and caring is one of those ways. So I look forward to living life with you in whatever events or situations or needs you have as we live life in community together. And so as I began to think about this sermon, this was the text that came to mind. When Jesus, it's an unusual text because you probably most often hear it during Lent, during right before Easter, and Jesus is on the cross, and he is conserving every bit of energy that he has, and he speaks these words. And so as I began to think about this text, the word behold was the word that grabbed hold of me as I started thinking about how would I give you a little picture of how God has called me to a caring ministry. And so as followers of Jesus, as disciples of God, as faithful Christians, as we are living into a life of sanctification, thanks to John Wesley, we pay attention to Jesus' life. We pay attention to his teachings and what he had to say, how he acted, who was his community. And so as I began to think about this text and Jesus and his community and his care that he showed the disciples, this was the image that came to mind. Now, this is an iconic image, and some of you may have seen this image in person. This image is in Milan, Italy, on a refectory wall in the Basilica of Santa Maria del Grazie. Some of you may have seen this image before it was restored. Some of you may have visited during their 22 years of restoration. Or some of you may have seen it recently. But this image depicts Jesus and how he valued community. For me, this is an image that I just want to crawl into. I want to listen to the conversations. I want to smell the smells. I want to pay attention to how Jesus is responding to the disciples. I may even want to take a second look at Judas. But in this iconic image, there's one character that catches my eye, and that's John. John is to the right of Jesus, and we will see that later on, John and Jesus have this intimate relationship because John is the beloved. John is the disciple that Jesus loved. And so we'll find out a little bit more about how this relationship comes into being. But first, I want to go through some of those intimate relationships that Jesus had, those intimate encounters. The table for Jesus is a very important place. The table represents a place where you can find a friend. It represents a place where you can find help. The table represents a place where conversations and differences are worked out. The table is a place where you can cry on somebody's shoulder. The table is a place of welcome. And who is welcomed at the table? Who is the table for? The table is for everyone who wants to come. You know, in God's economy looks a little different than ours. God's economy consists of bread and wine and water and a towel. And so for those who come to the table where God's economy is found, that's all we need. We have everything we need at the table. And that is why we are invited. So these encounters with Jesus, John being that first one that I mentioned, John and Jesus at the table. And here is a verse that's found in the Gospel of John that shows us a little bit about the one who Jesus loves. And in the Gospel of John, it says, one of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to Jesus, and he asked, Lord, who is it? Jesus knows that in the end, he will need to call on those who are closest to him. And so John and Jesus begin this relationship in which John will feel the ability to care. Well, another intimate encounter with Jesus is Mary and Jesus at the wedding of Canaan. And I believe that this is the first time that Mary really sees Jesus for who he is and in all of his fullness. She comes to Jesus and they've run out of wine and she at the wedding and she asks Jesus to turn water into wine. Now maybe at this point she knew what Jesus could do. Or maybe she was a mom who wondered what truly is this man and all its possibilities. Some of you are parents, and there may have been a time in your life with your kids that you really see them differently, and you see them for the fullness of who God has made them to be. I know for my big people, my two boys, it wasn't until they started getting older that I realized there might be a responsible person in here. And sure enough, they are living into their fullness that God has in store for them. The next encounter that we see is when Jesus is with Martha and Mary upon the death of Lazarus. And Jesus goes to them and he's sad with them and he weeps. And I look at this encounter with Jesus, and I'm so glad that Jesus gives us permission to cry. because there are times in life when tears come and we hold them gently. We hold them gently with the people that we love and the people that we care for. So another intimate encounter with Jesus, where Jesus teaches us something. And then the last encounter that I want to talk about is when Jesus washes the feet of Peter. This is a very intimate encounter when Jesus washes Peter's feet in the upper room. And I thought everybody loved to have their feet washed until I met my husband and got married. And he doesn't like his feet touched. But occasionally on Monday, Thursday, he will find the spiritual strength to let that be part of his spiritual life. So another encounter with Jesus that is intimate, that draws us in to the kind of care that Jesus is teaching us and giving us an example of. So the last one is for you. Have you had an intimate encounter with Jesus? And if so, what did it look like? Was it one of the heart? Was it one of the mind? Was it one of the spirit? As you have a relationship with Jesus, what is that calling in which you might find you're sitting right next to Jesus at the table? With each new encounter that we have with Jesus, we come to see Jesus in a different way, just as we see each other in a different way when we are caregivers or care receivers. So as Jesus moved around in his community, I think a question that we can ask is, what really happens when we really see someone? When we really see our neighbor? Because that goes back to our scripture, doesn't it? Behold, John, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. See, look, pay attention. What really happens when we see someone for the first time, or we see their need, or we see their full person, or we see their full potential? We can't unsee it. We can choose to walk away from it, but we can't unsee it. Have you ever had an encounter in a department store where a child chooses to play their favorite game of hide and seek? So being a safe game that you would play at home is not so safe in a department store. The child decides that it will go and hide under a rack of clothing and trust that mom or dad will come and find them. And then the parent realizes they're not around. and the parent begins to call their name, the parent begins then to get a little nervous. Heart starts beating faster. Voice gets louder. Images and visions and information start going through the parent's mind, and fear overtakes the body. And the shoppers around begin to notice. And they can either choose to stop what they're doing and come and be part of the community that's looking for this child, or they can choose to walk to a different department. I have been victim to that as a parent and as a bystander shopper. And I can tell you that being part of a community with thankfulness and gratefulness that I can help another is probably what Jesus had in mind. When we see someone in need of care, behold, stop and look and listen. One of my favorite pieces of scripture is from Hebrews. And it says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." You never know who you are going to be care for. When walking around the table. So, how does God call you to care? In the workplace, in school, in your neighborhood, in your church community, how does God call you to care? Some of you all are already engaged in places of care. Active in ministry, taking care of those in your family and where you work. But here in this congregation, which you all are an amazing congregation, there are places to give care, and then there's always that invitation to let the care team know you need care. And maybe you see a place in this congregation that needs care in a certain way that we've not yet thought of. And we invite you to come and share in that leadership. Stephen Ministry is very strong at this church. Ones who offer care and ones who come alongside, ones who want to have Stephen ministers. Stephen Ministry is an amazing ministry here at this church. And if that is a place for you to plug in and offer yourself, I encourage you to do that. Or if you are in need, there are amazing people on that team that would meet you at the table. There are many ways in which we care in the worlds that we live in. And when Paul was talking to the church of Thessalonica, he said, "So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us." Paul knew what Jesus was talking about when Jesus said, "Behold." Well, back to our original image at the table. I pray that you've found your place. And if you haven't found your place, then let this community help you find that place. If you're new here, I'm glad because I'm new here too. And we can walk this journey together. But this is an amazing congregation. And I can imagine there's a lot of table talk that goes on, a lot of ministry that happens in places that we can't even see or know. So come and find your place at the table. All are welcome. Jesus made that so. One last, I guess, final little interesting fact for me, of me, is that Rick and I have joined this amazing community, but next spring we will be joining another amazing community. And we're going to put bees on our farm. And there's probably some beekeepers in here. And so if you know anything about life in the hive, it resembles church. There's a lot that goes on in those beehives that looks like church. But that's another sermon. I'm grateful to be in this community with you. I am grateful that we are on this amazing journey together. It's not always perfect because we're not perfect people. It's not always easy because there are distractions. And it's sometimes hard. But we have a table that we can gather around. Thanks be to God. Amen.